We'll begin our study with Psalm 18 today. We will go through verses 1 to 18, and I read to you from Psalm 18, verses 1 to 18. To the choir master, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me, the cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked, the foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. Now Psalm 18 has 50 verses in Psalm 18. And we will just begin our study of the psalm today and move on verse by verse in the coming days. Now the Lord made David the king of all Israel, and he gave David victory over the nations that oppressed his rule. And we find the details of this in 2 Samuel chapter 5, where David is anointed as king. In 2 Samuel chapter 8, he speaks about his victories. And in 2 Samuel chapter 10, where you find David defeats the armies of Ammon and Syria. David then writes the psalm of praise and victory. Another version of the psalm is found in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And quotations and allusions to the psalm are also found in Psalm 116. Now this is the song that David sang on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. That's what we find in verse 1 of the psalm. Now it's interesting to note here, David did not classify Saul as one of his enemies. He doesn't classify Saul as one of his enemies. To Saul, David was an enemy, but to David, Saul was the anointed king of Israel. Now we may not be able to prevent other people from being our enemies, but we can prevent ourselves from being enemies toward others. And our job is not to create problems and make enemies. Our job is to pray for those who trouble us, to live for the Lord in obedience to his word as long as we are alive as believers on earth, and to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. That's our job. The Lord delivers David from all his enemies. In fact, the Hebrew language contained 23 different words for deliverance. 23 different words for deliverance. And the Jewish people surely knew something about deliverance. Throughout their history, God had delivered them. In verse 1, verse 25 to 29, verses 35 to 36, verses 39 to 40, verse 43, and verse 48, we find David addressing the Lord. And in the rest of the psalm, David told the people what God had done for him. So there's a beautiful blending here in the psalm, a blending of worship and witness. The focus of the psalm is on the Lord and what the Lord did for his servant David. But the psalm also tells us what the Lord can do for us today if we would just call upon him and trust him and obey him. Psalm 18 tells us, in verses 1 to 18, that God delivers us when we call upon him. Never forget that. God delivers us when we call upon him. God is just waiting for us to call upon him. Verses 19 to 27, God rewards us when we obey him. And verses 28 to 45, God equips us when we submit to him. Verses 46 to 50, God is glorified when we worship him. We will look at verses 1 to 18 today. God delivers us when we call upon him. Psalm 18 verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Now when David expressed his love for the Lord, he used a special word, and that word means to love deeply, to have compassion. The Hebrew word is the word rokem, rokem. Now this word rokem is related to the Hebrew word for womb. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, we read in the King James Version, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, rekem, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. So that word rokem, to love deeply, to have compassion, is compared to the word rekem, or the womb. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now this word rokem describes the kind of love that a mother has for her baby. In Isaiah 49 verse 15 we read, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Then it describes the love that a father has for his children. Psalm 103 verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. This word also describes the love that the Lord has for his chosen people Israel. Psalm 102 verse 13, you will arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come. The book of Hosea chapter 1 verse 7, but I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen. Deuteronomy 13 verse 17. None of the devoted things shall stick to your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy and have compassion on you and multiply you as he swore to your fathers. God deeply loves the nation of Israel. And this love is very deep. It is a deep, fervent love. And this is the kind of love that all of us should have for the Lord. Psalm 31 verse 23. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. So this is the kind of love that God desires that we have for him. Our love for the Lord must be this deep, fervent, very deep love. David expresses his love for the Lord in Psalm 18 verse 1, and then he expresses his faith in the Lord in verse 2. Psalm 18 verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So in verse 1, he expresses his love. Verse 2, he expresses his faith in the Lord. Then in verse 3, in Psalm 18 verse 3, he expresses his hope. Psalm 18 verse 3, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. So it was God who delivered David. And when did God deliver him? When David called upon him. And as we look into verses 1 to 6 of Psalm 18, we find 9 different titles for God. 9 different titles for God. My God, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, and the Lord. Each one of us can lay hold of God personally and say, He is my God. He is my deliverer. He is my salvation, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, the Lord. So who delivers you? The Lord delivers you. When will the Lord deliver? When you call upon him. It's so important to have this communion with God, to continually call upon him. Psalm 18 verse 3, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Now, let's look at four metaphors that David uses. The word rock, that's the first metaphor. It's a familiar metaphor for the Lord, the word rock. And the word speaks of strength and stability, a place of refuge. Psalm 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock. See that? Find strength, stability, a place of refuge, and my redeemer. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 28, verse 1. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Then in Psalm 31, verses 2 and 3. Incline your ear to me, rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You'll find also in Psalm 42, verse 9, Psalm 62, verse 2, 6, and 7, and Psalm 71, verse 3. You'll find this word, this metaphor, the rock. Then you'll find God striking the rock, and it gives water in Psalm 78, verses 19 to 20. They spoke against God, saying, can God spread a table in the wilderness? He struck the rock so that water gushed out and streams overflowed. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the rock, and he gives us living water. He gives us living water. Jesus tells the Samaritan woman, John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Then you find the word fortress. And fortress pictures God as a stronghold. 1 Samuel 22 verses 3 and 4. And David went up from there to Mizpeh of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and my mother stay with you till I know what God will do for me. And he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. The fortress, the stronghold. 1 Samuel 24, verses 21 to 22. Swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, and that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore this to Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men went up to the stronghold. In 2 Samuel 5, verse 17, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 14, you will find this word. Then you find the word shield. The Lord was David's shield. Psalm 18 verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Again in Psalm 3 verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Again Psalm 7 verse 10. My shield is with God who saves the upright in heart. Psalm 28 verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him. Psalm 33 verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord and he is our help and our shield. Then you find the word horn. The word horn refers to strength. Psalm 18 verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. When Hannah prayed, 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 1, we read, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. She's saying my strength. That's what she means. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. Now in Luke chapter 1 verse 69, you find the record of the prophecy of Zechariah. And there he uses the phrase horn of salvation. And that phrase refers to the Messiah. Luke 1 verses 68 and 69. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. This God is certainly worthy of our praise and our worship. Psalm 48 verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, his holy mountain. Psalm 96 verse 4. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Psalm 145 verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Now we come to verses 7 to 18 in Psalm 18. Then the earth reeled and rocked, the foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. Thick clouds dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire, and he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. Now, these verses present one of the greatest descriptions of a storm in the Bible. And it is a graphic picture of the way God works when he comes to the aid of his children. David was saying in these verses that God the Creator, God the Deliverer, used everything in nature to come to his aid. The earth shook down to its very foundations. Smoke came up. And fire came out, coals were kindled, the heavens bowed down, the wind began to blow because God was coming on the wings of the wind. We see darkness, dark waters, thick clouds, even hailstones and fire. Then thunder and lightning, metaphors for the very breath of God, was blowing across the fields. You see, when the child of God is in the will of God, all of nature works for him. And when the child of God is outside of the will of God, Everything works against him. Remember Jonah? He ran away from the manifest presence of God in disobedience. The Bible says he ran away from the presence of God. What does that mean? How can you run away from the presence of God? You can't run away from the presence of God. God is omnipresent. So what actually does it mean? Jonah was running away from God's manifest presence. That's what it means. He ran away from the manifest presence of God in disobedience. And what happened? A storm appeared. The wind and the waves were violent, and that little boat went up and down on the ocean like a cock. All the mariners were worried. Jonah disobeyed God. And everything in nature worked against him because he was going out of the will of God. David obeyed God, and everything in nature worked for him. Now, after expressing his devotion to God, David describes his distress in verses 4 to 6. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. So David pictured himself as a man hemmed in on every side, caught in a trap, bound with cords, thrown into the water to drown. That's how he pictures himself. In Psalm 88, verses 16 to 18, we read, your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. In Psalm 69, verse 2, we read, I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. Psalm 69, verse 15, let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Psalm 124, verse 4, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. But when David called out to God, what happened? God began to act on David's behalf. And the great deliverance is described in verses 7 to 18. And that deliverance is depicted as a storm. The Lord had been patient. He had been long-suffering with King Saul. But now his anger arose and he began to shake things like an earthquake and an erupting volcano. Psalm 18 verses 7 to 8. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. In the book of Exodus chapter 15 verse 8 we read, at the blast of your nostrils the waters piled up. The flood stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. Deuteronomy 32 verse 22. For a fire is kindled by my anger, and it burns to the depths of Sheol, devours the earth and its increase, and sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. God came out in a storm, like a warrior in a chariot, carried along swiftly by a cherub. Psalm 18 verse 9 and 10, he bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. Now when we compare this with Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24, we see how God planted cherubim in the Garden of Eden to guard the way to the tree of life. Genesis 3 verse 24, he drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. In 2 Kings chapter 19 verse 15, we read the prayer of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. And Ezekiel actually describes the cherubim. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 10, as for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. He's actually describing God's chariot. And he's saying, as for the likeness of their faces, describing the cherubim, each had a face, a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side, the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four had the face of an eagle. So God was accompanied by darkness, by rain, wind and hail, thunder and lightning were his arrows. Psalm 18 verse 11 to 14, he made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds, dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Psalm 77 verse 17, the clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. Psalm 144 verse 6, flash forth the lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and rout them. All of this happened because David called upon the Lord. David called upon the Lord. You see, when you call upon the Lord, be assured God hears. God will intervene. Psalm 18 verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. At just the right time, God reaches down and he delivers David. Psalm 18 verses 16 to 19. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Like Moses, David was also drawn out of the water. Exodus chapter 2 verse 10. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. The enemy fell in defeat, but David stood firm, supported by the Lord. Psalm 23 verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now David wrote the psalm having experienced victory over his enemies. He was king of Israel. 10 years of exile had ended. His life was spared and his ministry now lay before him. You may be going through a storm right now in your life, but God can use that storm, that very storm that you're going through, to fulfill His will for you. Is the wind blowing? He's flying on the wings of the wind. Are the clouds so thick you can't see the light? He will bring showers of blessing out of them. Storms can come from the hand of God and can be the means of blessing to you. It could be a correction storm, as it was in the case of Jonah. All you need to do is just cry out to Him, call upon His name, and you will experience His hand carrying you through. And we have Jonah's prayer. The whole of chapter 2 of Jonah is actually describes Jonah's prayer. Jonah chapter 2 verse 1 to 10. Just let's read that. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and You heard my voice. For You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All Your waves and Your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from Your sight, yet I shall again look upon Your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet You brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to You into Your holy temple. Just imagine this. He's in the belly of the fish, and he remembers the Lord, and he cries out, and he says, my prayer came to You into Your holy temple. Verse 8, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to You. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Right in that belly of the fish, he has the assurance that he'll be delivered. You see how secure he is? Because he knows when he cries out to the Lord will hear him. The Lord will deliver him. Look at verse 4. Then I said, I am driven away from Your sight, yet I shall again look upon Your holy temple. How could he say that? In the belly of the fish. Because he knew one thing. When he cried out to God, God would always hear. That's the secret of the Christian life. But you don't have to be in the belly of the fish like Jonah and then cry to the Lord. You can constantly be in communion with God and experience His manifest presence continually in your life. And your life can be a life of prayer and worship and witness. Worship and witness. If alone you would walk with God continually. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to You. Verse 9. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Sometimes God deals with us in a correction storm. And He does so because He loves us. And I said last time, when He loves us, He chastens us. And when He chastens us, all He expects us to do is to bow our knees before Him and call upon His holy name. And set things right where things need to be set right. And what will happen? You will find the deliverance. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Over to You, George.